Are you ready?
But I've been low key.
Hanging low key.
I've been on the low key.
Keep it low key.
Yeah, zipping low key.
That boy's so low key.
Low key. They like to stay low key.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Yes, welcome to an episode of Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. My name, Kyle Bowen. Yes, Kyle Bowen, K-Y-L-E-B-H-A-W-A-N. Today, we have a special conversation with Arshan. Yes, Arshan from Kids Take Over. K-T-O. Dude just interviewed Mike Dean. And we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that because I interviewed Arshan, 5 weeks ago? It was after Sheck West posted on his story that he was watching a Kids Take Over video. That conversation later on in the episode. We're also going to play What You Say again. Real good quotes. Real good quotes across the board there. I think the most significant is the shit we learned about the giant hornets. Yes, have you heard about this? The giant hornets. Are you kidding me? This is now happening? We're about to get fucked over by bees? They're not even bees? What are these things? These things are fucked. Venomous stings? Feel like a hot needle? What? 2020. Man, oh man. At the end of the episode, we'll talk about the word fluidity on What's the Word. But you know what it is, okay? It's Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. Let's start off with some music and Kit Sharif, Double Up, produced by Coltar Got Bounce. Another Coltar Got Bounce song on this program. Is Coltar paying me $5,000 a month to put his songs on this show? Yes.
Straight up.
Cat's out of the bag, okay? This song right here, Double Up, 100,000 streams. And big in Russia.
Kota got bounced. We ain't got bounced, nigga.
Hundred from three, I don't miss. Lay off a lay with the bliss. Look at what sit on the wrist. Look at what sit on the wrist. Look at what sit on the neck. I think a lot and I'm blessed. It don't feel right if I left. Had to come back to correct. Playing for keeps, you know the league. I'm in Dior, diamonds are sweet. You like a leech, I see you reach. I got a bag, mission complete. Watching but I never speak. Balance my Q's and my P's. Diamonds are wallet, they bleed. Diamonds are wallet, they bleed. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up, yeah. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up. Big bag, run it up. Double up, yeah. I wanna rave in the ghost. I leave my love on the coast. Purple, I double the dust. Purple, I double the dust. I be like summer remote. I don't see you where I go. Feel I rely on the smoke. Stop me from losing control. You cannot ride with the boredom. I see the suckers avoid them. Clinging on me, paranoia. Fake friends, they all wanna join it. I call my nerves with the poison, yeah. Listen, my mama, she worried. Thinking my blunts are like perkies. Think I'm addicted to flurries. I'm just addicted to journeys. Take me to diamonds, the pearly, yeah. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up, yeah. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up. Big bag, run it up. Big bag, double up, yeah.
That was Kid Sharif with Double Up, produced by Coltar Got Bounce. Doing numbers in Russia. I'll say that again. Doing numbers in Russia. You're listening to Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. My name is Kyle Bowen. It is time, yes, it is time to run what you say. I'm having fun with this. And I've realized I listen to a lot of stuff throughout the week. Way too many things going on in the eardrums. Let's be real. Too many things. Chill out. Take the fucking headphones off. Let's do this, though. What you say?
What did you just say?
What did you say?
What the hell did you just say?
Say what?
What did you say?
What did you say, or what you say? Like, what are we calling this? Once again, producers, writers, what are we doing here? Postitup.ca, let us know. Let us know. Let's get to work. What was I listening to this week? A lot of things. Should we start off with this one right here off the top? I don't even think it needs much of an introduction. I'll just tell you who's it by. It's from the Brilliant Idiots. Andrew Schulz. Charlemagne the God. Is it Charlemagne the God? It's the God. That dude. Great podcast, provoking. Just listen to this, okay? Just listen to this.
By the way, you can do both. I've been telling y'all this shit since Black Privilege. It's 168 hours in a week. Work your fucking job that you hate to pay the bills, right? 30, 40 hours a week, whatever the fuck it is. And spend another 30, 40 chasing your fucking dreams. That's only 80 hours.
Bro, you know what?
What the fuck?
I think one reason why quarantine is so depressing for people is because they're finally realizing that they're not chasing things because they're lazy. Like, oof. You have every opportunity, oof, right now while you're stuck in the house to chase all those dreams that you said that you want to chase, but you didn't have enough time, but you haven't done jack shit but watch Ozark, nothing, and Friends reruns and Tiger King and tweeted the same bullshit you always tweet and meme the same bullshit you always meme. So
when a motherfucker tells me that they've watched all of Netflix, in my mind, I'm like, yo, you must be doing great in life. You must have accomplished everything you ever wanted to fucking accomplish, bro. If you got time to watch all of Netflix.
Because that's my last goal.
Okay, a lot going on there. But I would say it's pretty brilliant. They just went off for about 8 minutes post Michael Jordan talk. And it worked. Once again, pretty brilliant. I'll say this about the whole lazy part. These moments in life happen once every 100 years, if you're lucky. And we've been lucky. And based on the stats, once every 100 years to have this time. Has it came in an unfortunate matter? Of course. This is so unnecessary. It really is. But you still have to somehow, some way make the most of it. During this time, it happens once every 100 years. You'll never have this time again in your life. It's a weird time. It's a weird time. I said this on a Nux Misconduct episode or something? It was about how this world post-pandemic, it's going to need some fucking driven people. You know what I'm saying? There will be a lot of repairing to do. Get to work. Let's go. Let's go. What else do we got? Oh, look at this. This shit right here. Check this out. And this for my people in BC, okay? The West Coast. Once again, Loki, that's what you're listening to. Vancouver's only podcast. This for my people. Put the damn volume down, okay? This for my people. Listen to this. Murder hornets. Murder hornets. Are you serious? Are you serious right now? That may be a thing on the West Coast. We're being warned. That's true. Apparently, people are seeing these things. And apparently, there was a nest in BC in 2019. And you know, why am I just reading about this now? Are you serious? These things are called Asian giant hornet. And of course, I found a YouTube video. Listen to this, okay? This is scary.
When a single hornet scout spots a beehive, she marks it with a pheromone and then returns with a hit squad. These giants are the world's largest hornet, 5 times the size of the average honeybee. And they're armed with a deadly venom. Their sting feels like a hot nail being driven into your flesh. A single hornet can kill as many as 40 bees a minute. Just 30 of them can annihilate a colony of 30,000 bees in a few hours.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? 30 of these giant hornets, I'm telling you, they're the size of your fucking car, can knock out 30,000 average bees. You know what the dude said at the end before he got cut out? Shout out to Nat Geo Wild. This is what he said, okay? He said, "This is not a war. This is a massacre." He actually went in like that, and he meant it because it was. You should see the footage. You should see the blood. You should see the children. The mothers. Dead in that beehive. Getting fucked up. And now these things are out here. In BC. In the West Coast, maybe. Possibly. I know a lot of people are talking about that Michael Jordan documentary series, doc series, and rightfully so. It's brilliant. The Last Dance. It transcends sports. You know, it's one of those rare things in the world of sports that the whole world will love. The casual fan will love. The non-sports fan will love. And it's done perfectly, okay? And I found something else. That may not be the same, but it's kind of close. We're talking about this show about cameras following Barcelona FC. It's called Match Day. And it's amazing. Listen to Gerard Piqué say what he has to say. It's a reminder.
Si guanyes, doncs els teus seguidors doncs podran anar el dia següent a la feina i podran treure pit, treure orgull de dir, hòstia, jo soc culer. Quan guanyes. Quan perds, doncs et tens que amagar una mica la cova i esperar la revanxa. Però sí.
Let me translate that for you, okay? Verbatim, no, but I'll translate it nonetheless. When you win, your fans go to work with their head held high. When you lose, you have to hide in a cave. And I believe it. I believe it. Watch this show. I am not even a casual soccer fan. That would be a mean thing to say to the casual soccer fan. I don't watch soccer. I know how it's the biggest sport in the world, by far, by miles. But I don't really know soccer, and watching this show about the biggest team, or one of the biggest teams in the world, I believe they're worth $4 billion, 2.6 euros, in the billions. A lot of money, big team. And the production that they put on this production too, it's epic. It showcases that, you know, there's a reason why they're worth $4 billion. It's because a lot of people are invested. They are getting, yes, they're getting like Olympic-like turnouts around their game. I feel as if North America never really experiences that. Is the tailgate experience for an NFL game close? I wouldn't say so, but it's great, but not on that scale. This quote, I mean, I think it holds weight. We see a professional athlete who's probably making a ton of money say that when he loses while he's on that team, Barcelona FC, he has to hide in a cave. People crazy. Sports fans, man. I miss sports. I miss sports. Do yourself a favor. Watch that show, Match Day. Watch it with the Jordan Show. That's some dope sports programming. Let's play some music, though. Okay, Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. And after the music, we got Arshan, Kids Take Over. A conversation. Does Arshan secretly want to be a comedian? We find out. Yes, we find out on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. Who we playing here? Oh, Addicts, Quintana, Max. Had to do it. And then we're going to have Heartbreak Hotel by Ankle God. Once again, Loki, Vancouver's only podcast.
I remember dealing with the addicts. Cold night done turned me to a savage. Flow balls of the addicts. Pull four for my addicts. Where she go wrong, mama raised a savage. Cause we spend too long trying to maintain. We'll get the money back and spend it on the same thing. I'm trying to level up and bust it down the plane, Jane. I'm trying to level with you, I ain't do the same thing. Cause I ain't see you when we was just trying to make change. You wasn't there for me, why you coming around now? Ain't no creep when we follow you last around. I can flip a pad like a petty. And I don't need a drop, a chatty. We gon' pull up in your hands. Ain't nobody make amends. Sip two times, ain't drink shit. Talk about a nine, but I know you never bang shit. We are not the same, no, you moving too basic. No bitch, she a foreign baddie with a facelift. All friends swearing, moving different on some other shit. How could I switch up, I'm in my bag now. T got a 762, he loading up the mags now. How they put a price on my head, one on my head now. Why you wanna talk about the bet, you wanna hand out. How you talking lies when you ain't never had a man down. Swear I'm an animal whenever I'm off his hands down. Addicted to money, flying these birds, I'm fucking bras now. My team went one up and we ain't never changed the scores now. Shout out my brody who bout to make it out of E-Town. He moving spotter, you know we always keep the heat round. Fast coming, tryna lock him in a dog pound. So I gotta stay where they ain't, yeah. What they got probably lock me up for 8 years. I'ma move every time I see the coast clear. I'm a big boss, you ain't bring your whole year. First week, yeah, I'ma do your whole year. Cooking in the pot and a whole meal. Got a kimchi, I can sell this shit for outside. Oh well, turn the studio to a hotel. And I gotta move smart, cause I feel her on the show now. And she bust a bad, but she ain't never been a hoster. And I ain't gon' talk unless I got myself a home now. Like J in a box and I ain't numb with myself still. Dropping the top and they ain't never look at me the same. I can fuck in your thought and she ain't never fuck with you again. Chasing your mansions, but my mom gave me the middle name. Put in the worst of an attitude for a little change. Crazy how to move when you pull them on a little girl. And I got a move smart, cause I feel her on the show now.
I'm gonna go.
Okay, okay, you are back on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. Kyle Bowen talking to you, and right now we have a guest, man, joining the conversation, Arshan from Kids Take Over. Before we start talking, I gotta drop one of these for you, man. Yo, the whole city is applauding the work that you're doing, man. Real talk, some big shit, man. You wake up on a Tuesday morning and you see Sheck West watching your video in his damn living room while he's in quarantine. How you feeling, bro?
I couldn't put that into words. I'm still kind of shaking about that because it's just not something you expect. And man, like, I gotta get that Sheck West interview, to be honest.
Oh, bro, you do, man. You do. That would be an hilarious interview. I know, like, your interviews are not over the top funny, and they never try to be. But I'm starting to notice, man. Like, on the low, man, you're low key a bit of a comedian, man. Like, who are some of your favorite comedians? You got something about you that's funny as hell, bro.
Really?
Dude, yeah, man. There's some little jokes. There's some little jokes you got, man. Yeah, that's the thing, bro. It seems like you try to put this off that you're the least funniest person, but I'm telling you, man, some of that shit is jokes, dude. The awkwardness, it's awesome.
Dude, I just throw in slight jabs here and there, but like, I don't know. I don't really listen to a lot of comedians. I watch a lot of Just Rain.
Man, who the fuck didn't watch Just Rain? Okay, let's talk about the last year and change for Kids Take Over, pretty much from the start and where you are now. I mean, you've probably done some reflecting. Like, what's changed internally about how you see Kids Take Over?
Could you repeat that last part again?
Oh, what's changed for you internally and of how you see, like, Kids Take Over? Like, you still on the same course, or has this already became something that you didn't really expect?
I was planning Kids Take Over. Man, I could kind of see all this coming because I knew, like, if I take 6 months off and really, really, like, plan something and brand it and whatnot, like, if I'm talented at the interviewing stuff, so if I know if I combine it with that, you know, like, it's going to get me somewhere. So I'm not, like, shocked, but, like, man, it's just crazy how, like, it's only been, like you said, a year and a bit of change. And, you know, like you said, Sheck West is viewing the story. Like, I got an interview with Polo G, and, like, it's just moving really, really fast.
Oh, yeah. It seems like that. And it's cool how you're still staying on somewhat of a course and still tackling, you know, different levels of artists. It doesn't seem like you've grown an ego. You're staying humble and you're sticking to the plan, and it's all working.
For sure, yeah. And I just think, like, you know, some of the best interviews, man, at least the ones that I've had the most fun on were the ones that people were, like, you know, lesser known, you know, like with engineers and stuff. So I guess to your question before, like, one thing I've really noticed is I like doing these interviews with people who are a bit more low-key. They just tell better stories. I'm down to interview, like, anyone, honestly.
Yeah, that's cool how you say that. I mean, I often say that about some Vancouver artists. I mean, there's been times where I leave studio sessions early or leave conversations early because I just want to save it for the interview. Sometimes it's not the best thing to know so much. It just doesn't work out for a better conversation.
Oh, no, for sure. No, I feel that.
100%. Okay. The second question, it's a bit of a downer, but I mean, I've known you for quite some time, and I've followed you for quite some time, and I've seen that sometimes, you know, there is that chance that somebody will cancel on you last minute. I mean, how do you handle that type of L, especially at the start of Kids Take Over? I mean, we're talking about something that you took 6 months off of to work on. I mean, how did you handle the early L's of having people cancel?
Man, I didn't. Early on, it was like the worst thing possible. Like, I was so, so sad. I just knew that, since I got my first couple of interviews, I knew that, like, I did it, right? So, sure, if I got canceled on by an artist, like, whatever, it's not the end of the world. I know I could still get a better one after that. But, like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it's whatever, because it's not. It's honestly very, very, like, depressing. Especially when you have to, you know, get your questions done, you get your staff to come to the location. You're just so prepared, right? But I think it's moments like those where it's like, if you can handle that, you can honestly handle anything. So I'm glad I canceled them. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, man, it's not easy, but man, the way this shit works, man, it's part of the business. I mean, we've been to shows and things happen, man. You know, so many things happen where you actually never know. It's never a lock that you're getting that interview until, you know, the mics are there and you see the artist and the cameras are rolling. It's just an intense time.
Yeah, that's why if I get an interview, I will never even put it on my story. Like, hey, guys, like, yeah, I'm about to do this. Like, I will wait till the camera is done recording. The SD card is in my computer and the footage says it works. Otherwise, I'm not saying anything.
Man, superstitious dude. Is that something that you've like learned from sports? Are basketball players, I don't follow the NBA that closely. Are basketball players super superstitious?
Superstitious? Yeah, I have zero clue, bro.
Hey, you just don't want to jinx it. You know, you do an interview, make sure it's done, and you pass it out there. Some people jump the gun and they tell the world, and yeah, man, it's unfortunate now sometimes technology.
They jump the gun on what?
Sometimes they jump the gun and like they'll say, oh, I'm interviewing this person. Oh,
sorry, it's happening again.
No, is it happening again?
Okay, now you're back.
Good. I'll cut this in. I mean, sometimes that happens, right? I mean, you tell the world you're doing something and it's all there, and then you put it in the computer and shit hits the fan and you don't get the interview. So that could be somewhat discouraging, man. I've seen it happen a couple times.
Yeah, and I think the worst part about it is that it's a really bad hit to your ego and your confidence, because if you announce something to all your friends and they're so excited about it, and then you're like, oh, guys, by the way, the footage is corrupted, like, man, it's like, you're like, oh, they're going to look at me this way, you know, they're going to think I lied. It's like, you know, just do stuff, don't talk about it, and just, like, amaze people once it actually comes out.
Hey, yeah, you can't let your fans down, man. I mean, you're growing, and you actually have people, you know, looking forward to your interviews. I mean, the one with Chopper, like, the basketball game with Chopper, that shit's hilarious. It's almost at 1 million plays, and that's remarkable, man.
Oh, man, I can, like, to this day, when I look at my YouTube and I see that almost has 1 million plays, I just cannot believe it. And, like, so much work went into that interview, and for it to get the traction it did, it feels amazing, man.
What do you mean so much work? Like, was it just a hassle getting together, or was there a possibility that it wasn't going to turn out?
Well, you know, when I got approached by his label to do the interview, they wanted to do a FaceTime interview, and cool. I was cool with that. It just, personally, by looking at NLE Chopper's interviews, I'm like, you know what, I wanted to do something a bit more interesting. And he was coming to Vancouver for Breakout, and I took the risk, you know, like, I was like, hey, like, I know you guys want me to do a FaceTime, but if we did an in-person one, like, I promise we can do something really, like, cool, right? And I proposed, like, we play a basketball game, because he wanted to be a basketball player when he was little. So, man, going in Vancouver and finding a basketball court, you might think that's, like, sounds easy, but that was one of the hardest things I had to do in my life, man. Like, showing people a picture of NLE Chapa and being like, hey, I want to shoot a video with him in your court. Yeah, they weren't buying it, man.
Yeah, that must have been tough. And that video, go watch it if you haven't seen it yet. Go search up Kids Take Over. Go watch the Chapa basketball game, because I'm telling you, that's when, you know, I was watching that shit with Sharuk and we were laughing, man. Because like, it's like, yo, you low-key funny as hell, bro. You just like chirping, you know, those little chirps. It just works. It adds to the whole conversation. I think it builds this authenticity that you can show. You can tell your interviews have context, man. You do your research, yet you're not afraid to be Arshan. It just works.
Facts. Yeah, man, I always want to try to be like a friend to the artist. I like, however, if I were to hang out with you or my brother, like, I'd rather just, you know, act that way rather than being like an interviewer, you know?
No, 100%, 100%. Has the growth of Kids Take Over, or the dream of what it could become, has it ever like taken away from your experience listening to music? Do you find yourself being more of a critic and just being too hard on music?
That's an interesting question. I think, you know, I've interviewed a lot of big artists. I've interviewed people who obviously make great music. And then I also get sent music from like a bunch of random people, right? Mm-hmm. It just, I guess my opinion on it is like, I've heard so much music where it's like, you know what, man, there's talent out there for sure. But at the end of the day, that's not really what matters. It's like, you really got to work hard. If you're not a hard worker, I could care less how talented you are. But I mean, you know what, that's just what I think.
No, fair enough, man. It's hard work is, it's funny how it is way more valuable in anything, really. And we kind of see it with hip hop. I mean, sometimes it gets so saturated where you have to only rely on that. I mean, how did this person make it? It's because they worked the hardest. Because there's so many different levels to music. And I mean, how many times, like, you could, like, who was that dude that you always showed me from Toronto? The R&B singer.
Margaret?
Yeah, I mean, he should be known by everyone, you know, and it's just like, how come he isn't talked about by everyone? And it's like, nah, man, it's just different levels to it. I mean, these kids who come up, I mean, they work the hardest, man. They're just giving content after content after content, and it's just easier to, you know, be attached to them.
Mm-hmm. No, facts. No, I agree. Like, man, I 100% agree.
Yeah, so I often do this with guests. I always talk about, like, the childhood and how how you could maybe connect the dots to what you were doing as a kid and how what you're doing now, and who were the people that may have inspired you to be a person who wanted to have conversations?
To have conversations? Man, there's really just like a couple people, but I think mostly Cole Bennett, because, you know, he really did what I want to do. It's pretty much just like, you know, he started off, I think he did interviews too, or music videos, but he essentially just created a brand where he could use that brand to do anything he wanted that he liked, you know? Mm-hmm. So if Cole wants to throw a festival, if he wants to sell clothes, hell, if he wants to do like an A&R, like he could do it because he has a brand to back that up. So I feel like, you know, just finding people who really just found out what they love and built a brand around it, I just thought that was so impressive. And I was like, dude, this is like the coolest thing in the world. And they did this just by using the internet to their advantage. So I don't know. I guess that really got my hopes up. And, you know,
If you follow Cole Bennett in Lyrical Lemonade, and it is actually remarkable. I mean, he came up right in the middle of what, like pretty much like 2016, a lot of 2017, and everyone started knowing about him. And then just to see what he's doing now with Lyrical Lemonade, it's like, oh shit, this guy's not just about making these crazy ass music videos. There's something else going on there.
Yeah, and there's just so many, no offense to like the other older hip hop outlets like Hot 97 or whatever, but there was so many of those, and I was like, you know, I feel like I wanted to be a journalist. So I was like, it's the only way to do this, to like intern at like Hot 97 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw Cole, I was like, yo, this kid is like 18 when he started, and he made this whole entire thing by himself. So I mean, if Cole can do it, I sure as hell know I can do it too.
Damn, man, that's good. Yeah, you know what? That's actually no surprise. I mean, we've encountered each other maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 times, and I've noticed that about you. You're kind of like an ambitious, confident kid who, yeah, you seem like you have this plan. And now that you mentioned that you did the whole 6 month thing and everything's kind of lining up the way you thought it would, it's just more interesting to see what's going to happen next. And you are a pretty secretive person. I've even noticed that in your interview, you don't really give out much of the details of like who you're interviewing or who's canceled, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just excited to see what else is happening with Kids Take Over. You talked about Cole Bennett. I mean, you grew up and you were still relatively a kid, like 16 or 17 years old, around the time Academics became what he is today. Were you watching a lot of Academics back then?
Right, yeah, that's one person I forgot. So although people will say Academics is like a culture vulture, whatever, right? I think Academics was also dope. I used to watch all of his YouTube stuff, like Warren Chirac. Yeah, and it was just funny. And the best thing about it was not that it was funny to me. It was just the fact that he did it himself. He can talk about whatever he wants, getting paid for it. No one's like holding his creativity. So Academics for sure, I forgot about him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the whole map for Academics as far as where he started and where he is now. I think in 2020, I may be wrong here, and this is just based off of what like someone like Wayno would say or Charlemagne. I think Academics is actually starting to get a bit more credit or a bit more respect for what he actually did in the years of 2017 and 2018. And he does have say in the game. Like you can say what you want about the dude, but he is influential.
No, I agree. I think people just hate because, you know, he paved a whole new way, and people don't want to like see new things. You know, they're kind of stuck on like, oh, like you got to work at this radio station and that's where you're going to get your name. But he paved his own lane. And I feel like people didn't really like mess with that because I guess they were jealous. But I give it like 3-5 years and people are gonna be like, wow, Academics was like more influential than Charlemagne.
Damn. You know what? In the hip hop world, and where it's heading, and I think Charlemagne is, he's not like completely in it, but he's still there. I think you may be right on that. I mean, Academics, he's still young and he still seems super passionate about where hip hop is going, and he seems like he's changing and evolving as a person too. Yeah, there is that possibility, man. If this guy does have longevity, he may be up there as far as like greatest influencers. That would be crazy if Academics did a complete 360 and got everyone on his side. What was your take on Everyday Struggle when it started? I thought it was super fascinating. I mean, it looked like fucking First Take, a sports show.
Dude, I absolutely loved Everyday Struggle when Joe was on it, because you have two completely different personalities, you know? Dude, Everyday Struggle was this shit. Like, as soon as Joe left, I tried watching it, but I'm like, no offense to Wayno and all, but it's just like, you know, the personalities aren't strong enough with just Academics. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like Joe's podcast, I watch Joe Budden podcast too. It's so good. Facts. Academics is so good. So if you come,
facts.
Yeah. So if you combine that together, it's just like, it was amazing. Their debates are awesome. I mean, there was like beats here and there. And yeah, it just never felt like fabricated, you know, it was just like so real.
Yeah. That straight up there was nothing like, Academics and Joe Budden with Nadeska in the middle, trying to keep them tame. It was pure entertainment and it was around hip hop. Now, we won't stick on Everyday Struggle for so long, but I do recommend that you try giving it more of a chance with Wayno. It's obviously a lot different, but if you just need that hip-hop fix and that hip-hop commentary, maybe that's why I keep going back to it, just to have that. It still does its purpose, man. It's different, but it still does something.
Yeah, for like hip-hop commentary, I watch more so the No Jumper Show. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah, 100%. Adam.
Yeah, I just like Adam as a personality. Yeah, I just, you know.
Fair enough.
No Jumper is so authentic and so real where it's like there's no cut. I'm more into stuff like that.
No, fair enough. It is a different type of experience. Okay, we got two personal questions before I'm going to hit you with the last one. The first personal question is, we're on the same boat here, okay? I've seen the struggle. How's the non-haircut life going, bro? What's going on?
Dude, it's the worst. Like, I'm just, like, Googling things. Like, what am I supposed to do? I'm not going to learn. I can't learn how to do it myself. So I'm going to give myself a bald spot or something. But I did get an ad for it, which is weird, you know, because I know our phones are listening to us. I got an ad where like this dude comes to your house with a mask and he cuts your hair. So I'm down to do it, but it's like $50.
Dude, it should be more, bro. This guy's risking his life to cut some fucking hair, bro. Yo, that's hilarious.
Imagine telling my mom I'm gonna get a haircut for $50. She's not gonna let me do that.
Yeah, but why would you? Oh, I guess you would still need a haircut because you're still doing FaceTimes. Yeah, bro, you gotta look fresh, bro. This is a prime time for you to do some FaceTimes, I'm assuming. So I hear you, man.
That's what I'm saying.
You gotta figure out a way to look fresh. And honestly, looking at it now, I can't see you with a hat or a toque. You don't seem like that dude, man.
You're the first person. You're the first person to get that right because I hate hats.
Yo, you just don't seem like that dude. Your hair is always on point, so it's like, fuck, we don't need that hat on our side. Okay, second question. If you had one basketball player to interview right now in the NBA, has to be a current player, who is it? And you seem like a guy who likes stories, so think for a bit. You know, think a little deeper. It doesn't have to be the main guy, but who would you interview today?
1,000,000% Derrick Rose.
Damn, cool.
Yeah, because you kind of got on the nail. Like, I could care less how many points you average or whatever. I was just a Derrick Rose fan since I was in my, let's say, like, fourth, fifth grade. And I liked him first because he was so good of a player. But later on, I was like, yo, this guy really did not have to go back to the NBA. But he came back, like, three times. And he just won't stop because he really, really loves the game so much. So Derrick Rose, I'd love to know, like, dude, what was it in you that made you want to come back, even though you pretty much injured every single like limb of your body? Yeah, man, like I'd probably cry if I interviewed Derrick Rose.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I mean, Derrick Rose, again, not the biggest NBA fan, but I know that dude he has a strong passion for the game still. It's crazy how someone can go through so many things yet still have that love for the game. And Derrick Rose, it's evident, bro. The guy loves basketball.
Yeah, 100%. Like, outside of Derrick Rose, man, I don't really care to interview any other NBA player except maybe Kevin Durant because I just think he's cool as hell. I watch all his interviews.
Me too, man. He just did one on what? All Smoke, right? That's what it's called?
Yeah, that's my favorite basketball podcast.
Bro, it's perfect, man. I just listened to the whole Stephen A. Smith episode right now. We just listened to the one with Sharp. Yo, they're great, man. Those two are pretty fucking sick together, man. Basketball's in good hands with those two being, what, the number one podcast possibly for the sport eventually. Okay, last question. Thanks for your time. Again, you're listening to Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. Kyle Bowen talking to you. We got Arshan from Kids Takeover. Go find the dude on YouTube, Instagram. I believe he has TikTok too. The guy's just killing it right now. Bright light in the city of Vancouver. This is a bit of a deep question. You may not have an answer for it, but I'm going to put you to the test. Post-pandemic, what do you think the world is going to want to listen to? I feel like we're in a dark place right now, and I do feel as if the best songs, when this shit's all over, will be of a lighter capacity. It's things like King Kunta or God's Plan or something where that will be needed for the people.
Are you talking about like first day out songs?
Yeah, like pandemic's over, people can go party again. I feel like that's going to be a great time for music. People are going to need it. I mean, what do you think it's going to sound like? Look, what are your predictions?
I think it's going to sound like a whole lot of Red by Playboi Carti.
Ooh.
When he's gonna drop. I already know, man. He's gonna drop that once this is all over. And Playboi Carti, his music just makes you happy. So, well, as soon as this is over, that's all we're gonna bump.
Hey, yo, you know what? I'm gonna hold you to that, and I'm gonna actually listen to some Playboi Carti after this little conversation. I saw your interview with Pure Born, and you made me go to his project, and it's a fun project, man. It's
hell yeah, yeah. It's those fun. Beats in general, man, they just brighten your mood. Like,
yeah,
I honestly didn't like Playboi Carti or even Pure like a while ago, but you know, I listen to so much music that I'm so open to hearing new sounds. And I just went into like a deep hole. I listened to Carti, I listened to Jugger. Like, I listen to so many weird artists now, to the point where, like, if someone tells me to listen to someone like Squeaking, which, you know, we've already seen an artist like that, I'll probably listen to it and I'll probably like it.
No, that's what you got to do. It's your job, bro. You got to be open to everything, bro. That's just what you got to do. Yeah. That's one of the things. And I think that's why I have to ask that question about listening to music now and if it's changed, but you're going to be stuck with that for a long time. Okay, that was Arshan. Kids Take Over. Once again, man, the guy's doing so much things, like not consciously for the city of Vancouver, but based on your performance and your branding and just who you are, I swear to you, man, the city is fucking proud of you. I mean, when we look at who's doing it really for the city, we look at Manila, we look at Baby, we look at Mercules. Now we see Boslin jumping in there, and for sure, I'm going to put you in there. Again, you're not an artist, yeah, but I'm putting you in there as someone that's going to help push, like, we've been trying to do this, and you're actually doing this. So one more applause for fucking Arshan, okay?
Cool. Kids Take Over. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that, bro.
No problem, man. Keep it up, man. Thank you for joining, Loki, and we'll have you on sometime down the road, bro.
We've got it.
Once again, thank you to Arshan for joining us on Loki, Vancouver's only podcast. The city is proud. That's just a fact. We're talking about a kid from Surrey interviewing Mike Dean via FaceTime. That's incredible. That really is. You want to watch another one of his videos? And in my opinion, this is a little bit of Vancouver history. This was before La 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 by Baby No Money, but Kids Take Over, he sat down with Baby. He did for a candid conversation. That video right there, again, a piece of Vancouver history. Man, oh man, thank you. Thank you, Arshan. Okay, let's get to some music. And after the music, we'll end off the episode with What's the Word. What do we have next here, okay? Why don't we do this? Should we run another sidetrack? Yes, we're running another sidetrack. This one featuring AC. I believe it came out last summer. Ballin'. Hey. Hey, it's May. Summer's coming up. We probably won't be partying much. But if you do, play this song. You're listening to Loki, Vancouver's only podcast.
You blew me off like I'm dusty. I blew a bag out the country. Run running like it's nothing. I don't need your stunts because I'm stunting now. I see how you trying to do me. Get no credit for the new me now. All I wanted was you to want me. Now I got shorty looking sorry. Big, big love when you saw me. Drip, drip, heavy and I'm saucy. It's like, yeah. Still I ain't forget the way you let me down. Hurting, shook up, I was broken. First I lost you, then they found me. So the next time that you doubt me, I'll be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me. I'll be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me now. Out the dress in the function. Baby, guess how you find? Why you acting like you know me? Thought I let it all fall down. It's falling down. Don't call me now, cause I'm balling now. I got options, you got options. See me balling, see you watching me. You didn't want me on the low. I didn't want you cause I'm high. Yeah, vice versa, vice versa. Hurting. Shook up, I was broken. First I lost you, then they found me. So the next time that you doubt me, I'll be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me.
I be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me now. Well, I hate you again. The way you let me down, hurting, shook up, I was broken. First I lost you, then I found me. So the next time that you doubt me, I'll be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me. I'll be ballin' when you want me. Said I'm ballin' cause you need me now.
What's the word?
What's the word?
What's the word? What's the word?
What's the word?
Is it Alex Karras in Webster?
I don't believe it.
Today's word is fluidity. Yes, fluidity. I believe I'm saying that right. I hope I'm saying that right. What does it mean? It means the ability of a substance to flow easily. Now, why is this the word on what's the word today? Hey, if you listen to the network, we've been mindful over this downtime, okay? We taking that time to go on walks. We taking that time to listen to nature. We taking that time after smoking a joint to be in tune with one, all right? I don't know what's going on, but I feel as if a lot of people are doing it. Interesting times. We said this earlier. These type of moments happen once every 100 years. A lot of time to reflect. Now, in doing so, I've been reading some books. And one that I believe is called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra. Good book. In fact, I would recommend that to anyone. It's about 90 minutes long if you get it on Audible. 90 minutes. It's just a good podcast episode, okay? It gets you thinking. It gets you thinking about the mind, the brain. Come on. It's your brain. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up.
Now, fluidity. How does that connect? In that book by Deepak Chopra, he talks about the power that you possess once you're able to be fluid with whatever you're doing. And I feel as if over the last couple of months, that is something that I've aspired to want. Yes. And it's similar to when athletes, after big games or big performances, say the same thing. I was having fun. It's just another game. I was having fun. You're at your best when you're having fun. You're at your best when you're fluid. When things are easy. It's hard to get to that point when things are easy. And that should be the goal. It really should. Now, while you go through the process and you're just grinding, fucking grinding out there, you learn to appreciate hard work. You kind of fall in love with the time, with the sweat, with the blood. It happens. You want to talk about the brain? The brain gets used to that and gets that kick of dopamine from the work you put in. But when it's all said and done, the goal is for it to be easy. Not just easier, easy. That's when you're fluid. And again, I want that. This stuff is fun. It's work. It's all good. But I do believe I'm still a ways away from being fluid. And I can't fucking wait till I'm fluid, yo.
Straight up.
Can't wait. Can't wait. That was Loki. Vancouver's only podcast. Remember, go check out all the music we featured on today's episode. We'll put the names in the bio. The city, I'm telling you, the last month, the last 30 days, the last 40 days, so much good music. And it needs to keep coming. It does. Did we play any of that new music this episode? Oh, we had addicts. We had addicts, okay? Yes, we had some new Max and some new Quintana Mills. Quintana, I just want to put this out there. Let's get an interview done. Let's do it. Who is this guy? I don't know. Also, we'll have all the all the information about the podcast and the clips that we featured and what you say below as well. Go follow Kyle Bowen and the Post It Up Network wherever you do your following. And make sure to get the network while you're at it. Let's be real. 6 shows with one swipe. That is what you want in your fucking life, okay? That's just the truth. Make it easy for yourself, okay? Next week, we'll be talking to Hindsight. I can't wait for that. And I just said his name wrong. It's Hinds. He wants to be known as Hinds. All right? That dude right there. Spiritual individual who just has it. We need more content from the dude. Go check out his podcast, In Hindsight, available everywhere as well. Let's get out of here, okay? Vancouver's only podcast. That was Loki. Let's ride out to some McAvoy. Why don't we do that? I'm feeling that. It looks like a yellow type of day. What does that mean? Just listen to the song. Have a good morning, a good afternoon, a good night. We don't know when you're listening to this, but we appreciate it. Peace.
I choose to remind myself. I choose to be by myself.